Hi, my name is Duncan, and we are the Fantasy Football Fanatics. I'm joined by Matt in London this week and Gary in Shanghai. Gary, welcome back to the pod. And what was your football highlight from game week 33?
Ni hao. Hello, Duncan. Hello, Matt. So my football highlight of the week, I guess there's not many to choose from this week, but I will go with Liverpool away at Southampton. So I'll just explain. So as you heard, I'm in China. So the evening kickoffs are always impossible to watch because they're on at like 3 or 4 in the morning. So I will usually, there's some websites that will show the highlights the next day. And sometimes they will show like really detailed highlights, and other times they just basically show the goals and that's it. And I kind of realized when the first two highlights were goals that the highlights I was watching was just the goals. And well, as you saw them go behind to Southampton, they equalized, and then it cut to the next highlight in the 80th minute, and it was Southampton taking a corner. And I was like watching it thinking, oh wow, this is massive, this must mean Southampton are about to score and the whole title race is being decided. And then the corner kind of ping-balled around a little bit. Suddenly it was at the feet of Salah, and he did that thrilling run up the pitch and popped it in the back of the net. But that was it was unexpected for me, because the way it was presented on the highlights package was like, this looked like a maybe a 90% chance that Southampton are going to score. And then in the end, it was instead it was Mo Salah kind of running 50 yards and then tucking it away. So that was quite exciting, but it's also thrilling, I think, to just see how like Liverpool just keep fighting and they keep staying in there. And yeah, no, credit to them. You could see how pumped up they were. My other highlight, I guess, was just seeing just how animated Jordan Henderson was when he scored. Just you can tell that they know that this is like a once, maybe a one-off chance to beat this great City team. And
yeah, it's a really great highlight and a brilliant goal from Salah as well. I didn't expect him on the form he's been on to put that away, but an awesome finish.
Yeah, well, with a lot of fantasy managers have some tough decisions to make about him now, because he
yeah, definitely
he could be
tricky
crucial
one
last
with
few weeks.
double game weeks for other teams, but then they play Huddersfield after game week 35, don't they? So it's tricky. Matt, how about you? What was your football highlight?
So I've not seen too many of the games from this just game week, and that's partly because I have so few players playing in these games that to keep my interest levels going. But midweek, I saw the highlights for the Spurs' first game at home against Palace, which was quite nice to see their shiny new stadium, and all the fans getting really pumped up and excited for it. Spurs, I can't quite make my mind up. The Spurs' season is going to go spectacularly well or spectacularly badly. It's all coming down to the crunch now against Man City, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. Although, you know, this kind of reduced in the league down to fighting for fourth place, which looked guaranteed earlier in the season.
Yeah, because they could move into their new stadium for Europa League football next season, having won nothing ever. Or they could have some sort of like late season glory in the Champions League and then get in the top four. It's all to play for. But it's pretty tough for them at the moment. Man City three times in their next four games.
I think they're in quite a similar position to what Liverpool were in last year, when it's really like death or glory in the Champions League, and Liverpool could just attack that game, and Tottenham will hopefully probably approach it the same way.
Yeah, it's going to be a good watch, regardless. I always sort of hope for chill on the English teams in Europe, although I think I'd rather Spurs do well than Man City, and then Man City better than Liverpool. So, yeah, I'll be cheering on Spurs in that game, I think.
I'm just hoping for a good game in that one. My football highlight of the week wasn't in game week 33. It was actually the tail end of double game week 32. It was Arsenal versus Newcastle, and it was the finish by Lacazette. The kind of nod on from Aubameyang, and then Lacazette's lob over the keeper, I just thought was a lovely finish. And I thought it was going to be the start of, you know, more goals from Lacazette. He's been on pretty good form, but I thought maybe he'd start getting, you know, hat tricks or double point returns. And against Everton, that clearly wasn't going to happen. So he just kind of flattered the deceive, I think. But yeah, lovely finish from him. So that was my highlight. Should we have a look at our game weeks? I think, Gary, I think, should we come to you first and see how blank game week 33 went for you?
Okay, so I had a bit of a dilemma where I only had seven players playing, but I had two transfers saved up. So the two free transfers were quite an easy choice. I was always decided to go for Hazard and Vardy. So Hazard, obviously, we're recording this on Sunday, so we don't know what he's going to do. He's my captain. He's still to play. But Vardy obviously worked perfectly. 16 points was great. But I decided to gamble and spend another 8 points on Zaha and Callum Wilson. And they got a haul of 7 points between them. So all that effort cost me a point, basically. I could have done nothing there. I'm going first because I've got 44 points overall. I guess 36 when you take off the 8 point hit. As with Hazard and Fabianski still to play. And basically Leicester, the last game on Match of the Day is usually a write-off, but it actually saved me seeing Vardy rack up those 16 points and 9 points for Tielemans, my gut punt. Basically Leicester saved me with those 25
Talk us through
points.
Tielemans, because we've been mentioning him a few times on the podcast. I think we were giving you rave reviews last week, having previously been very mean about him. But why did you bring him in when I think you brought him in before any particular patch of form?
Yeah, so I must admit this was very much a punt in the truest sense of the word. I was kind of picking my team very late at night, knowing that I was going to wake up and the game week would have started, and I needed to find a midfielder, and I knew I wanted to get a Leicester player in my team because they had a really nice run of fixtures coming up. And I didn't know very much about him, to be brutally honest. But I looked at his career history very briefly. And I think, was it Club Bruges he played for in Belgium? And then Monaco, he seemed to be getting kind of 7, 8, 9 goals a season. And since I brought him in, he's got like 5, 5, 9, 7, 5, 9. He's gone... and he's still at like 1% ownership. It couldn't have gone much better. I guess it's a swan song for him now. I think I'm going to retire him. I don't think this run can last forever. And Leicester have one easy game left before their fixtures turn. So I think you've got to know when to bring him in, the punts, and you've got to know when to...
I think that's a really good shout. But definitely transfer in of the season, for sure. Matt, how about you? How was your game week?
So mine's been all about just managing the losses because I came into the game week with 5 players, and then it turns out the Buruk doesn't actually play for Bournemouth anymore, so actually only had 4 players. So I'd taken an 8-point hit and subbed in Vardy, Hazard and Mane. So Vardy's definitely come off so far, so that's saved my game week. Mane didn't, and I've captained Hazard, so we'll see how he does tomorrow. And then the other one, my main hero at the moment is Milijevic, has done really well for me the last 2 game weeks. So I brought him in just last game week. And so that's given me 35 points, but a minus 8. So I think you're right behind me now because you've been catching up because you had better plans for this game week. So at the moment, sort of satisfied that I've just about managed my losses, given I've only got 7 players playing this week. But roll on the wild card and having a full team to choose from.
Yeah, I think you've done really well, considering the amount of players you had and you've got a score of 35. I think that's pretty impressive. With your captain still to play, Hazard at home against West Ham, and I don't have Hazard, so I think you've done really well.
Yeah, so far sort of managed those losses quite well. But I think you're catching up still quite a lot. So it's going to be a close rivalry between us two, I think, come to the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. My game week so far, like Matt was saying, I've planned for this week. And actually, considering that I'm only coming up with a score of 41 at the moment. I already had Vardy, stupidly didn't captain him. Went really punty this week. And my transfer in for Aguero was Giroud, who not only did I bring in on a bit of a risk, I also captained. So it's all about tomorrow night watching that Chelsea game and whether it's Hazard or Giroud who finishes with points. That's going to be a big swing in our mini league for sure. Yeah, apart from that, Alexander Arnold returned an assist, so he got a couple of points. Pereira finally returned some points for me, which was nice, with an assist as well. Maguire randomly didn't start. I didn't understand that because he wasn't suspended, but didn't play at all. So that was annoying. Yeah, Ashley Barnes doing very comical things, scoring an own goal, picking up a yellow card, and then scoring and getting a very strange score of 3 points for a striker. But yeah, like you say, Matt, roll on the wild card. I will not miss this team. And I'm looking forward to talking about our wild card plans moving on from here, I think. Should we go for...
This has just occurred to me, Duncan, but I guess Ashley Barnes was quite close to getting the fantasy football full house of doing everything. I guess he didn't get a bonus point, but I wonder what's the most different things a player can get on a... Like adding,
yeah, and if you do get them all, if you get the red card, two yellows, own goal, score a goal, miss a penalty, something like that, you should get, 10 bonus points as a cheeky kind of Easter egg in the game somewhere.
It would be amusing if the code is written like that. Yeah, just like a random, the extra way to score points as you achieve all things in a match.
We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll be looking at our wild cards. Okay, we're back and we're talking wild cards. We've all activated the wild card. So I have a question for you guys. Gary, for you first. What are the top three names, the first three names on your wild card team sheet?
Okay, so at this stage of the season, part of me is thinking like which teams need to win? Which teams have still got something to play for? So I'm straight away going to Man City. And I guess he's been like one of the first picks all season, but Raheem Sterling for me. I guess you could equally go for Aguero. I'd say Sterling just because he's on such good form. He's got so many points. And even though there's some tough fixtures in there, I think City are going to win most of them. So the tough fixtures probably actually help because it means there's less reason for them to rotate Sterling. The second name on my list is Harry Kane. I've not actually had him all season, but I'm thinking of putting him in because, again, Tottenham, they need to win their matches. And they are going to... like they've got four home games out of the last six, I think. And I think that as long as Harry Kane can survive the three games in 10 days against Manchester City without an injury... I think he usually kind of gets a bit of momentum at the end of the season. The third one, I mean, I might be cannibalising my gut punt a bit. So maybe I'll say Duffy for Brighton. I think Brighton have got four games coming up the first couple of weeks. And there's some pretty winnable games in there as well. So... yeah, I'd say Duffy is a good one because he's very cheap as well, so you can kind of build a team around.
Yeah, solid ones. I think Duffy's going to be a very popular pick. People trying to maximise those four games in 2 weeks. And then Sterling and Kane, yeah, sound logic. Like you're saying with Kane, he's got four home games in six. But they also have that crucial one at home to Huddersfield in game week 34 where... no, he's a great captain shout, surely.
Yeah, I don't know if... I think at this stage of the season, Huddersfield can be a bit of a double-edged sword because it's almost like if they're like 2-0, 3-0 up at half-time, they might just take him off and say, oh, we can have a rest. But I remember was it a couple of seasons ago, Harry and Kane just went completely nuts in the last couple of weeks of the season. He scored like... four goals against Hull and two more against someone else all in the same week. So I'm kind of in my mind that he might have that kind of run up his
sleeve. Well, that's a big thing with Kane, isn't it? Towards the end of the season, it's the race for the golden boot. If Tottenham are out of the Champions League and the only thing that he can win is going to be the golden boot, he's going to be going for it. So yeah, I think he's a great shout. I think he's a good pick. Matt, how about you? Who are your top three names for your wildcard?
So all three of those names I'm certainly in my plans at the moment. But to add to that, I think I might go for at least one other Tottenham asset. So I might go for Son at the moment. He's been one of my favourite players this season because he did so well for me over the Christmas period, and he just seems to be back into goal scoring form again. And I think Tottenham have got lots to fight for, so they'll still be trying really hard. And then I'm going to return and sort of refresh my memories of us having Arsenal players in my team. And so I think it's probably Lacazette and what I can afford, but I'm tempted to go before Aubameyang because he's also in that golden boot race. It just depends how I sort of jockey my funds around in the wild card.
What's your thinking behind Arsenal players? You know, we've just seen them lose to Everton.
Yeah, I think Everton are on good form, though. And Arsenal just seem to be quite naff away from home. But they are going to be going for the Champions League place. They don't have much else to focus on, so their players can be fairly fresh. And they've got what looks quite a nice game week 35 double with Crystal Palace at home and Wolves away. Wolves will be mainly focused, I think, on the FA Cup, so they might not be quite the force they've been for most of the season. So it just seemed like a team to sort of maybe start backing because they're still going to be playing really hard.
I don't know. I mean, I just a word of caution on Arsenal. You're saying they're not very good away from home. They've got four out of their last six away from home. The kind of reverse of Tottenham, and those aren't easy away fixtures. You know, they're kind of Watford, Wolves, Leicester, kind of middle ranked teams, and even Burnley away is a tricky one if they're fighting relegation on the last day. So I don't know, it's tough. They're one of the big teams with what looks like good fixtures, but a lot of them are away, so it is tricky.
Yeah, it's true.
I think it comes down to that point about having something to play for, though, because I personally think Burnley will be fine by the last game of the season, and that could then become a big game for Arsenal. And the fact they've got something to play for would I'd kind of overlook the away form a little bit. Although that didn't work today against Everton. So I definitely maybe favour Arsenal attackers over defenders, though, because if they're having to win these away games, they could become kind of like 3-2 sort of goal fests, but I don't think Arsenal keep many clean sheets away from home.
I think that's a fair shout. So people thinking about Kolasinac, maybe change that for Lacazette or Aubameyang. Fair enough, Matt. Do you have any more on your wildcard list?
Yeah. So I mean, the other two players that sort of have always been in my wildcard picks has been Camarasa at the moment, just because he's such an enabler. With his price, and he's got a double game week immediately, and then if I want to, I can sub him out for someone else. But it just seemed like quite a nice opportunity for this game week 34 coming up, just to have a nice cheap double game week player. And then finally, I'm saying I'm not forgetting about Liverpool entirely. So I've had Robertson in from almost the start of the season. He's staying there because. So that logic again that Liverpool are going to be trying hard really every single game and don't have a not bad end of the season as well. There's a couple of difficult games in there, but it's on the whole, it's pretty good.
Especially that kind of game week 35 when a lot of people going for double game weeks, they're playing, is it Cardiff away? And then following that in 36 Huddersfield at home, there's a couple of really nice fixtures there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's a good shout. And you've got all the value tied up in him as
that's
well.
That's it. So he's had such a good season. It would seem crazy just to abandon him now when things are still looking quite positive for him fixtures-wise.
Nice. For me, I mean, you guys have covered a lot of them. So Kane's, Sterling's, Duffy's, those are players I'm all thinking about. One player who I haven't had all season who is probably the biggest mistake that I've made all season is not having Jimenez. So he was one of the first names on my team sheet. Obviously, I have to buy him for much more than a lot of other people. But I think he's got good fixtures. He's got good form. I think he's just an enabler and a very solid pick that you can rely on. Then apart from that, I think... one of the first names that I had on my team sheet, following on what Gary was saying about how Man City have not the easiest fixtures, but they've got a lot of reason to try and score a lot of goals, and they're looking in great form. I think De Bruyne has been looking really good recently. So the semi-final of the FA Cup, I thought he had a great game, a great assist. I know he's had some problems with injury this season, and he might not be guaranteed all the minutes in a double game week. But, you know, at Cardiff at home, I thought he really looked like he was back to his best. So hopefully that means that Pep's going to rely on him and on set pieces and things like that as well. So he was one of the first names on my team sheet. Apart from that, I think considering doubling up on Brighton defence, because I think a lot of people are going to have Duffy. And I think even though their double in game week 35 isn't as good as their double in game week 34, you know, that's four games in two game weeks. And I think that's worth doubling up, especially when they're so affordable. So whether that's Duncan Duffy or Duffy and Ryan or some of their cheaper defenders, I think they've got a defender who's 4 million, I think that's right, who's getting games at the moment. Bernardo, isn't it? 4.2. I think any of those options as a double up might be a good shout. And you can always kind of transfer them out before 35 if you prefer other players, because you've got that transfer. That's where I'd be going with my key players behind the ones you guys have already suggested.
Yeah, and I think going back to Jimenez, one of the great reasons to have him and why I put him in very early is kind of Wolves have absolutely no other option but to play him. Like, their team is based around, they have no other player who can play that position pretty much. So they kind of have to play him. Like, I know they rested him for an hour for the double game week in 32, but that was very much like they have to rest him because they've been playing him all season. But you know, if he's anything like fit, he will play, and he will play the vast majority of the game. So he's a bit of a banker.
And they've got good double game week fixtures. You know, Brighton at home, that's a nice one. And then even Arsenal at home. We were saying Arsenal away from home, not the same as their home form. I think that's quite a good fixture for Wolves.
Yeah, they're a tricky one, Wolves, because you look at what traditionally you think, oh, this is an easy fixture. But for them, kind of Cardiff away or Huddersfield at home or something, it's not an easy fixture for them. It's like they prefer going kind of head to head with the top six. So, I think that's a bit of an anomaly that might start even itself out. I think that they have Cardiff at home, don't they, as one of their last fixtures. I think they'll kind of use that as a chance to show that they can beat one of the softer teams.
Nice one. Should we take a quick break, and when we come back we can preview the mini double game week that is game week 34. Let's talk double game week 34. I say double game week, it's really only Brighton and Cardiff, so it's not a proper double game week. But first up is Leicester Newcastle, and that's one for Gary.
So this is a tricky one for me, actually. I feel like Leicester have been on really good form recently, and they're starting to play a bit more of an expansive style under Rodgers. But I wonder that Newcastle are actually the kind of team that they like going away to teams with an expansive style and shutting up shop and trying to nick and a win away from home. So I don't know if this is just me kind of reading too much into it, but I kind of feel like Leicester are due an unlucky defeat, and Newcastle, after kind of battering Crystal Palace and losing, are kind of due a slightly fortunate win. So I'm gonna say Newcastle for this one, but I'm gonna say, what this means for fantasy, I don't know. I think maybe think about someone like Rondon, or someone like Dubravka might be actually called upon to make a lot of saves. But I also think, as I said, I'm getting rid of Tielemans, not so much for this game, but Leicester's fixtures turn after this. So, but I'd say if you have Tielemans, Pereira, Vardy, then it's probably time to start thinking about getting rid, if not maybe one more game for them.
I think that's a fair shout, because people have been loading up on Leicester players. You know, I had three Leicester players. A lot of people have gone for Vardy. So yeah, with that prediction, like you say, time to move them on and think about double game week players and players with better fixtures for the rest of the season. We'll have to see with Newcastle, but like you say, they are playing for something. We were mentioning it earlier, they're playing to battle relegation, and Leicester, maybe that Rodgers effects is going to start wearing off and they don't really have too much to play for anymore. So I think that's a good shout. Matt, I think you've got the easy one. You've got Spurs versus Huddersfield on Saturday.
A bit of an easier one to predict. So I fully expect Spurs to win handsomely at home to Huddersfield. The only question mark I have, though, and I've been following the press conferences quite closely, is whether Spurs sort of rest a few players, given that this is a fairly easy fixture that's sandwiched in their Champions League games against Man City. We've spoken about Kane and Son as like good assets to have, but only if they get on the pitch, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be so worried about Kane being rested, but Son has definitely missed a game. I think he didn't start against Southampton, so maybe that would be a bit of concern.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think, yeah, you're probably right about Kane because he's desperate for the golden boot as well. And he is the sort of player that can play every week. We will see. I think they're very tempting choices, Spurs, but this part of the season gets so unpredictable with a lot of rotation going on and some teams trying harder than others. And so I just think this is one of those slightly risky games where it looks very obvious that you should load up on your Spurs players, but there might be the occasional random resting.
My prediction is that Spurs will say, let's put out quite a strong team, try and get 2-0 up at half-time and then just try and play the game out. Because I don't think the way that kind of Man City did against Cardiff, they play like a second-string 11, but actually like Jesus and Foden are still really good players and they're going to beat Cardiff even with their second string. I don't think Spurs can afford to do that.
That's a good point. But if they did that, then they probably wouldn't score too many points if you had attacking assets. It's because they'll just ease back as soon as they get that lead.
Yeah, they're not going to beat Huddersfield 6-1 at home like Man City did, I think.
Yeah, they're going to be having that Man City game on the back of their minds, aren't they? So, yeah, it's a tricky one because people are going to want to load up on Spurs players with all those home fixtures and with that double game week as well. But, yeah, just I think trying to pick the players that you're sure are going to start. Or more likely to start, at least.
Yeah, people have mentioned Trippier on that one because I think Ori has been injured. You get a defender at home to Huddersfield and then a double afterwards, so he might be a tempting one.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Next up, it's Brighton-Bournemouth, and this is one for me. I saw a nice image on Twitter someone put up of Callum Wilson's heat map. During the game against Burnley, basically had just a route map from the stadium to the beach, at Bournemouth Beach, saying that basically Bournemouth are on the beach and Callum Wilson is one of them. I don't think that's completely fair. I think he got a lot of chances against Burnley. He just didn't put them away. But this is a game where, again, we're coming to talk about motivation. Brighton are going to be really motivated for this one. They're out of the FA Cup now and they are down in 16th position and they have games in hand that they want to kind of move away from the bottom of the table. So this is the first of their two fixtures this game week and I think I would be focusing on their defenders. So we've kind of mentioned already Matt Ryan, Duncan Duffy, and this would be the first of what you'd hope to have two clean sheets. Bournemouth players I'd be avoiding. They don't have a double game week. And although their fixtures are all right for the rest of the season, I think motivation is going to be lacking. So, yeah, I don't know if I can see any other Brighton assets I can look at outside of the defence. What do you guys reckon? You see any midfielders or strikers potentially?
Well, I have this this thing every year where I think Anthony Knockhart is going to make his breakthrough suddenly kind of show. Like when he was in the Championship, he was pretty much the best attacker in the Championship. He used to regularly rip Sheffield Wednesday. I'm a Wednesday fan, so I've seen him regularly rip Wednesday to pieces. So I've often put him in my fantasy team and then always got rid of him a couple of weeks later because he's not the same player in the Premier League. But maybe against some of these weaker teams, he might be able to pick up a few points.
It's tricky, isn't it? You can't even guarantee the game time with him as well. He's not a 90-minute man under Houghton, so it would be a bit of a punt, but maybe the best punt of what they have. Glenn Murray, you just can't rely on because he's going to play one and two, and the same for Andone as well. So, I think that's where I'd be staying, just with the Brighton defenders. Gary, what do you reckon to Burnley-Cardiff?
So, I think I'm going to go for a Burnley win here, but I kind of... There's an element to this, and I felt this with Cardiff a lot this season, but there's a kind of desperation that it's like they almost have to win this game, and that kind of makes them slightly dangerous. And earlier on in the season, whenever they look like slipping back, they just have a must-win home game, and they did tend to win them. But I think Cardiff are just running out of steam a bit, so I'd say Burnley to win this. Probably not by much, because Burnley very rarely win by a lot. But maybe a 1 or a 2-0. I don't know what the rest of Burnley's fixtures look like, but if you're just looking at this one-off game, then I'd look at some of their defenders. And then you pretty much, you know, with Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood that they're going to be like 75% of Burnley's goals is going to have like one, if not both of them, involved in them. And the other interesting player Burnley have, I think, is McNeil, who I think, Duncan, you mentioned a few weeks ago as like an interesting player, and I've been quite impressed with him. I had my wild card, my free hit, sorry, a couple of weeks ago, and I did put him in my squad, but I left him on the bench, which was a mistake because then he scored and got 8 points. But yeah, McNeil. You'd think Burnley are going to have a bit more of the ball than usual. They're going to have to break Cardiff down, so it might be going down the wings a lot. So he might be another one to think about.
I think you were saying about Burnley and it being a one-off game, potentially players to bring in. I think that's a good shout because their fixtures after game week 34 really turn. So Chelsea away, Man City at home and Arsenal at home, as well as Everton away. It's a really nasty run of fixtures following this game. I think they're probably a team, if you're playing your wild card in 35, you don't have your bench boost left perhaps, and you're saving your wild card for the last possible moment before the double game week, then Burnley players are worth considering as a one game week punt, like Gary was saying, yeah. But nasty fixtures after that. Matt, I think you're up next with Fulham versus Everton.
Yes, I mean, again, I don't think this... in theory, I'd say this is not the most difficult game to predict because Fulham have been a bit abject this season and Everton on a great run of form. So I'd expect Everton to win, but you just never know if Fulham want to play some of their final home games in front of their fans and try and win a bit of pride back. Are they technically relegated yet? I'm not sure. They are now relegated. So it'll be interesting to see if they play a bit differently now that, in theory, the pressure's off and they just want to try and impress. But I'd fully expect an Everton win here. And Calvert-Lewin apparently has had a great impact since coming in into the team. So he's sort of maybe a cheap punt to go for. I think an Everton win, but Fulham, you just never know. I think it'll be quite unpredictable.
Yeah, it's a tricky one with neither team having a double game week. Probably not where most people are going to be looking. But I think that's a fair shout, Matt. Next up, it's Southampton Wolves, and that's one for me. I think this is going to be close than most might expect, actually. I think Southampton have got some good form under their new manager recently, and they seem to have a really good spirit down there. Wolves, their form has been slightly patchy of late. They've obviously had their eyes in the FA Cup slightly, so I think they only have one win in four, kind of lost their mid-season form slightly. Southampton on the reverse of that, 3 wins and 4. So they're kind of in a good moment. And I think a lot of people are going to be looking at Southampton assets, not just with this game in mind, more with the double game week in mind, because although they're both away in 35, it's Newcastle and Watford. So, yeah, all right fixtures, and they have a lot of cheap enablers in the Southampton team. So I think the players that I'd be recommending would be Valerie at right wing back. I think he's a great enabler. He's got a couple of goals this season. He's at 4.1, and he seems to have that spot completely nailed down since about game week 21 or something like that. So he's been in the team quite a long time, and he gets forward quite a lot. So I think he's a great shout. Apart from that, Bednarek, again, still playing 4.0. I don't know how he stayed at that price, but he's another great enabler. And then I think the big pick is James Ward-Prowse on set pieces, on penalties if Ings isn't on the pitch, if he's injured or Austin's not playing. But just there on the corners, on all the free kicks and attacking free kicks, he's got, you know, he's got goals from that as well. So I think he's a great enabler, but he's also a great option as well on set pieces. Wolves, I think I've already mentioned Jimenez. I'd be bringing him in. I think Jota is another great pick, still very cheap, and their double game week fixture of Brighton and Arsenal is good. And you know, they've got Fulham at home in 37, so I think they're worth investing in. And then I'd always back Matt Doherty to get attacking returns from now until the end of the season. So yeah, there's 3 Southampton picks for you and 3 Wolves picks. Gary, what do you reckon to Man United West Ham?
So I think kind of going back to what I was saying about picking players for the rest of the season, like who's got stuff to play for and who hasn't. Well, West Ham seem to be one of these teams that are kind of going on to the, if not on the beach, then certainly their minds are kind of wandering in that direction. So, yeah, I think Man United will win this. I'd just add a caveat to that they've not, there was the win against Watford recently where you kind of thought, oh, this is a comfortable win for Man U, and actually they didn't really play that well. So it might turn out to be kind of an unconvincing victory for Man United rather than an emphatic one. But I'd certainly be looking at West Ham's defence being pretty poor. So you look at the usual ones like Pogba, Rashford, Lukaku, and think that the Man United players would be good ones to go for. And they do have a double game week the next week, don't they? So I think, yeah, you could be tempted by the Man United defence, although I've fallen for this a few times this season. And again, against Watford, they didn't. It looked like they were going to keep a clean sheet, and they didn't. So, pick a Man United defender at your peril. They don't tend to set up or get many bonus points or do much attacking wise, like the likes of Lindelof and Shaw and Jones and Smalling. That they're not very good attacking wise. So you're really relying, approach with caution, the Man United defence. But I'd definitely think about Rashford. And Pogba, although he's expensive, he's probably due a good return soon.
Tricky double game week fixtures for Man United with Everton away and Man City at home. Would you be kind of backing them in those fixtures, or do you think your premium assets, you might be going elsewhere?
It's a tricky one. I think against Man City, it's almost a coin toss, isn't it? I think it's, you could see them beating Man City at home. Solskjaer generally has approached the big games pretty well. I think I'd probably back Man City in that one though. So I'd say the game away at Everton, they probably will win that. I think Everton still have a bit of a soft underbelly. And I think you'd expect at least 3 goals over those 2 games. So you're still thinking people like Pogba and Rashford I think they would be, they'd still be pretty good. Again, you never know. The thing about tough games like that as well. Again, as I say, I'm saying approach the defenders with peril. But I remember when Chelsea beat Man City earlier this season, and David Luiz got a massive haul. But sometimes it's the centre back or the goalkeeper that comes out of it with all the bonus points because they're the ones crucial. So yeah, again, maybe De Gea is one to think about. I think he'll definitely be tested a lot when they play against away at Everton, at home to City. So yeah, maybe
racking up those save points. Yeah. Not a bad call.
Mm.
Matt, what do you reckon to Crystal Palace, Man City?
So, Man City seem to be on really good form at the moment and can win with whatever side they put out. So, I expect them to win again. But Palace away is not an easy fixture. I know certainly from being a Milijevic owner at the moment that they've been getting penalties left, right and centre, which has been great for me. And so I reckon it'll be close, but Man City will probably ease ahead. And we've already been speaking about Sterling and De Bruyne for the run-in. Aguero as well, he's had a great season and he's also going for the Golden Boot. So it's another one to consider having your teams. They've got a tricky double game week, but they are the best team in the league. And so you'd expect them to win their games. Yeah, Man City assets still wants to have, I think. Even though they do have such a tough run in, they're just really, really good. And you've got to expect a bit of rotation, but they're the sort of team that does score quite a few goals. So even if your player gets dropped one week, it's like Sterling, then he might bag a brace or a hat trick the week after. And which
do you think
this is
the end of the road
overall
for Wan-Bissaka and people's teams? Probably been there since game week one in a lot of teams.
Yeah, Crystal Palace have got not the best run in. I mean, certainly the next two games, Man City and then Arsenal away. And they've got less and less to play for now. They're sort of fairly comfortable and unlikely to get relegated. So, you sort of be keeping him just for sentimentality now, I think.
Yeah. Next up, I've got Liverpool versus Chelsea, the big game of the weekend, I think. So, I think Liverpool recently have been really grinding out results. They've not been making it look too easy. The games have been quite tight. So Chelsea, I expect to be in a better place than they were a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully Callum Hudson-Odoi gets a bit more of a run in the team. And failing that, at least Giroud getting a start up front in the Premier League in front of Higuain, I think changes them going forward so much. So I think if that is the case, they could provide quite a tough opponent. They haven't been that bad defensively this season, Chelsea. So I think they could be quite a tough test for Liverpool at home. And I don't think Liverpool are kind of free-flowing scoring at the moment. And they're not also keeping a huge amount of clean sheets like they were early in the season. So I know Matt's saying he's going to stick with his Liverpool players, but I think this is the end of the road for my Liverpool players. I think just the nature of how they're playing and the fact they don't have a double game week, I see as a tough fixture. I think there are transfers left for people to bring players back in, you know, for that home fixture against Huddersfield in 36. You know, people talking about Salah triple captaincy, maybe bring him back for a hit that week. It has the potential for that. But yeah, I think personally, I'm going to be moving away from Liverpool assets and looking at, you know, cheaper defenders with double game weeks and attackers who might be able to score more goals like Man City. So yeah, I don't think I'll be backing any Chelsea players for this game, but I don't think I'll be backing any Liverpool either, to be honest. What do you guys reckon on this big game?
I think Liverpool will win. I think if you've got Salah or Mane, you can be pretty sure that they'll get some points. If you kind of, it depends whether you're looking at it as a one-off game or if you're looking at strategically, next week as well, that would probably change your thinking a bit.
Yeah, and I think you've got to consider that at this point of the season, haven't you? It's not just about the one game for a lot of people with their wild card.
Yeah, although it's a bit scary dropping your Mane and Salah comfort blanket, especially with Cardiff and Huddersfield the next two after that. So, I think it's the right call, but it's just it could backfire because they've done so well to get points this season. They've got two fairly soft fixtures coming up, and they're going for the title. So.
And you also have that problem.
They're still
with
quite good assets.
Some of the game, well, a lot of the game week fixtures for a lot of teams being a bit mixed. You don't have a lot of top teams with two great fixtures. So, you know, the alternatives aren't incredible. So maybe it's worth sticking with at least, you know, one of Salah and Mane. Yeah.
It depends how all in you want to go on the double game week fixtures and 35, I think.
The other thing with Liverpool, this is sandwiched in the middle of the Champions League as well. So even though Cardiff and Huddersfield look like good fixtures, you might not see Salah and Mane playing all of those. I guess it depends how the first leg goes against Porto as well. But they may be looking to rotate.
Yeah, I think
a
that's
bit.
Definitely worth considering. And Gary, what do you reckon to Watford Arsenal?
This is a tricky one. I think last season was it that Watford kind of bullied Arsenal off the pitch. It was kind of Troy Deeney kind of gave a very boastful sort of post-match interview and was like basically very old-fashioned. They don't like it up them. But I'm not sure Watford are going to win this time. I kind of part of me thinks that Arsenal just for the same reason that they kind of need to win. They're not going to be as abject as they were against Everton. So I don't know. On my coupon, I have this down as a draw. But that was basically because I couldn't pick a winner. But then I do in my current bus team, I have two Watford players. But I've almost got the two Watford players for my bench for 34. And then I'm actually going to play them for 35 for the double game week. So, I don't think there'll be anyone who comes out of this with a big haul of points. If you fancy another kind of, they don't like it up them, then think about Troy Deeney.
He does like that fixture, doesn't he? And I think you're right, Gary. I think it's hard to pick between these two teams with Watford at home. But I think a lot of players are going to have Arsenal players because of the double game week. They're going to have Watford players, like you're saying, because of the double game week. So, It's less about this game for players from these teams. It's if you're on your wild card, it's more about 35 and the games after that. You know, Watford's fixtures in that double game week are great. Huddersfield away and Southampton at home, that's the right way round. I can see why a lot of people would be bringing them. Who would you be going for from Watford for the long term or for the double game weeks?
So I don't, they don't keep many clean sheets, but I think that with some of these easy fixtures, they might. So I quite like Holobas, because he also scores the odd goal and he gets plenty of assists. He's got a wicked corner on him. From the midfield, I mean, there's Deulofeu, who can be very explosive. Pereira, who's probably been the most consistent over the course of the season. But I'd probably go for Decore out of the Watford midfield. He's scored in his last two games and he plays pretty much every game and he kind of pops up through midfield. He's never going to score like 10, 12 goals a season, but he's kind of involved a lot and he's got a bit of a goal threat. So I think he's a bit more, like, you never know with Deulofeu, he sometimes gets subbed off at half time. Like, they beat Cardiff 4-1, he gets subbed off at half time. Fulham 4-1, wasn't it? I'd go for Decore and Holobas are the two I'm looking at.
Yeah, got good options all through the team, but I like the Holobas shout. He was on great form earlier in the season, wasn't he? And he's back from injury now, so hopefully he can get back on it. Matt, I've got a surprise fixture for you. Brighton versus Cardiff. What do you reckon to this one?
Yes, this is the cheeky double. And that both teams will be sort of desperate to try and win it. Either Brighton to make sure they guarantee they're staying up, and Cardiff, this might be their last realistic chance to sort of stay in the hunt, to stay in the league. And as a result, I expect it to be a bit of a tense one. I mean, neither side's great at scoring goals at the best of times, but I wouldn't be surprised if this ends up into a very edgy, low-scoring affair. And therefore, I think people have been talking about Brighton defenders for their two home games this game week. Cardiff as well. I mean, they've lost Sol Bambas, who is sort of the usual one you went to for a Cardiff defender. But maybe someone like Etheridge or the penalty-saving Maestro goalkeeper, or one of the other cheap defenders they have, just as a little punt to get two fixtures and maybe a clean sheet. The problem with Cardiff's fixtures is they're both away from home, and they're not that great away from home. So I think Brighton are probably the stronger of the two and might edge this one, but Cardiff will be really fighting in this one.
I quite like Morrison for Cardiff he's just kind of like an instrument of havoc. They just bring him forward, and he always gets his head on the long throws or the corners. He doesn't always like put a shot in, or just he's just kind of wins the header, and then it could go anywhere off him. But he's kind of like he's always involved. So he might be one if you were looking for a Cardiff.
I really like him. I wish they'd start aiming for him to win the header and score the goal, rather than win the ball at the back post and put it back across the box. Because he seems to win, you know, all those headers. I saw a stat in the last game that he has the most touches in the box of any Cardiff player this season, which is basically just from winning the ball at the back post. So get him on the penalty spot and try and win those headers and score goals. But I think he's a good shout, Gary. Especially with Sol Bamba out, hopefully they're going to be targeting him a bit more.
Yeah, Sol Bamba was the one who got the knockdown and knocked it in then, didn't he? So, but yeah, he's missing his partner in crime, really. But yeah, that's the problem for Cardiff.
Yeah, it might be best going on the skills of someone like Camarasa, who knocks that cross in instead.
What about whipping boys this week? Gary, I'm going to come to you first. Can you pick out a whipping boy?
Yes, I think I'll just go with the obvious. I'll go with Huddersfield. I think they're down. They've not shown that much fight. They just lost 4-1. Their only hope is that Spurs have got half an eye on the Champions League.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Matt, do you agree?
I mean, I agree. I think the only other one I was looking at is maybe shout out to Man U at home to West Ham, who look like they've down tools. It'd be remiss of me as a Man U fan not to say that they could.
Yeah, I agree.
Could score a few there
as well. Man U is another option, but Huddersfield are our whipping boys.
I thought you were saying Man U were the whipping boys for a second. I was like, bold call.
Yeah, I was really down on the Ole.
I think we have to leave that for that's Andy's like job earlier in the season. He was calling out Man United's the whipping boys most weeks. What about gut punts, Gary? You're kind of our gut punt king, keeping track of our scores. How have people got on this week?
So this week, well, I'm roaring back into it. So I finally backed my man Tielemans as my gut punt, and he's got 9 points. So Matt's still miles and miles ahead. He's still got a 25-point lead in our table, but he went for Ozil this week, much to your merriment, on the away to a northern team. So Ozil only got 2. Andy went for Perez, who only got 2. Dunk, you went for McNeil, who I could have sworn did something, but apparently not. He only got 2 as well. And Ben went for Calvert-Lewin. Now, I must admit, I didn't check him. Did he get an assist to the goal, or was he...
5 points.
Oh. So he must...
Yeah.
5 points, is it? So Ben is... Well, he's closing in on Andy now. He's just a point off going third. But no, I think the gut punt table is... Matt's got 67 points. I'm on 42, and then Andy's on 27. So Matt has really...
Yes, indeed. Yeah, although McNeil did nothing this week, I kind of feel I got a mini win with Ozil failing and me calling you on that. So I'll take that tiny little bit of light in this terrible gut punch season for me.
I feel like I should do a bit of showboating from now on to the run-in if I've got such a nice cushion.
Well, you did like a Huddersfield player earlier in the season, so maybe you should go back to that. I think that's a good shout, Matt.
That would be a great gut punch if you could call it. I mean, I guess Aaron Moy scored a penalty last week if you'd have called something like that.
Yeah, I'm not going to, but it is tempting.
Clean sheet, that'd be the ultimate.
Matt, who are you going for this week in double game week 34?
So I mentioned briefly just earlier, I'm going to go for Camarasa. So he's attacking player for Cardiff, sort of their skillful one for free kicks and crosses. Two games in a week means that at the very minimum he'd probably get 4 points. And if he's had contributions recently, I think he's got 5 goals this season. So
he's on penalties as well for them.
Yeah, so he's my shout.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Not tempted by the Huddersfield players at all.
Maybe next week. Maybe next
Gary, how about you?
So yeah, again, a bit of a cheat, but double game week, so I'm going to go with Brighton, two home games. So I'm going to go for Matt Ryan, and I think he's a good one to have in for the rest of the season as well, because they've got some, even the two away games they've got coming up, you kind of look at the defenders for Brighton and you think, oh, Duffy away from home, or some of these home games, oh, Brighton might let one in. But that's not such a problem if you're the goalkeeper. Like, if they can still pick up 3 or 4 points, even if they let a goal in, with the save points and sometimes the bonus points if they have a good game. So I think Matt Ryan is looking good for the next few weeks.
Yeah, and if Callum Wilson's form from the last game continues, then that's going to be a good pick. I'm gonna go for a player. Really big player, which I was amazed at how low his ownership was. And I think he's just come back into form recently. Kevin De Bruyne, unbelievably under 5%. I guess it's, you know, the injury that's kept him out of most people's teams. But I think he's back on form now. So that's a big, big shout out to stay away from De Bruyne, because my record on gut punts is horrific this season. So, yeah, be warned. I think Andy's gone for a good gut punt. Another big player with a coming back for injury, so he has a low ownership. Dele Alli against Huddersfield, I think that's a great shout. Hopefully he doesn't get the axe from rotation we were mentioning before because of Europe, but if he plays, then that's a really good pick. Captains and transfers, guys. Oh, actually, no, before we go to that, let's have a look at clean sheets. Gary, can you pick your first clean sheet?
Yeah, a bit boring, but same as the Whipping Boys. Let's go for Spurs, clean sheet, home to Huddersfield.
Matt?
I'll go Man U, at home to
West Ham.
I'm going to
cheat and I'm going to go for Brighton because I'm backing them for at least one clean sheet between Bournemouth and Cardiff. Okay, Gary, back to you.
I actually think that they've gone a while without a clean sheet, but Liverpool get back to having clean sheets. I think they'll see off Chelsea and Liverpool.
Fair enough. Chelsea not the most free flowing attacking team at the moment, so I think that's fair enough. Matt.
I mean, I get to the point now where I think. Yeah, I'm not 100% certain there'd be a clean sheet, but I think Man City are just really, really good, and Crystal Palace have struggled
especially
a bit to score
home,
goals this season. So,
home,
Man City.
I'm going to go with Burnley against Cardiff. I think Sean Dyche has talked up this as being a really big game for the last few weeks, and I think they're going to be really up for this. And I trust the Burnley defence with the Cardiff attack. So, yeah, I think I see a clean sheet there. Anyone shout if they see any more clean sheets? Otherwise, we'll move on to captains and transfers.
I might have one more. I think maybe Everton at Fulham.
Yeah, Everton have went on a good run recently, and they've kept a clean sheet against Arsenal. So yeah, that's a good shout. Okay, captains and transfers. Gary, coming to you first.
Well, transfers is looking like my whole team at the moment. So I think we talked about this earlier. I'm quite interested in I'm bringing at least two, maybe three Brighton players in. Do I go all on the Brighton bandwagon and go in for a Brighton captain as well? So yeah, maybe Matt Ryan. I'll double down on my gut punt and put Matt Ryan as my captain.
It's good to have a proper maverick on the pod. A goalkeeper captaincy. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, I was looking at my squad. This is just my draft team at the moment, but I've got Sterling and Aguero, who normally you think, oh yeah, but away at Crystal Palace and also halfway in between a Champions League game. It's yeah. Are they going to play? Are they going to play more than an hour? It's a bit tricky. Yeah, I guess Harry Kane is the other obvious one. Yeah, so Matt Ryan or Harry Kane, the eternal question. Yeah, I'll have to wonder about that one. Yeah, so Harry Kane's the obvious one otherwise. But I might go Matt Ryan.
Nice one. Matt, how about you?
So similar thought process. It's sort of sat on Harry Kane, but I haven't thought about it much yet. And so if there's hints of rotation, then I might go for a Brighton asset. I've got Duffy and Ryan in my team at the moment, so I could also go for one of them. If we all went Matt Ryan, it'd be a bit
yeah,
weird.
Yeah, I think I echo those happen. Sentiments. I don't know about the Brighton captaincy. I think I'm more down the line of the Kane or Son captaincy. I think I'll have to watch the Champions League game and check who gets subbed off early and who's looking in form. But I think I'd prefer those guys over a Brighton captaincy. I think that's just a bit too maverick for me. If you don't follow us already on Twitter, we're at FPLFFFanatics. Get in touch with us on there. It'd be great to hear from you guys. Gary, thank you very much for joining us from China this week.
My pleasure. Well, let's see how it goes next week for the Brighton boys then. I think we'll be tuning in to cheer on their Duffy, Dunk and yeah, Ryan and all the horrible defenders.
I do like it when you tune into like you've got a defender or a goalkeeper playing in a match and you see you're kind of hoping nothing happens. Sort of a weird way to watch a football
match.
Yeah,
or the match of the day highlights when you're hoping for shots down the middle of the goal. So it's like Fabianski or someone can just make save after easy save.
I think Brighton Cardiff is going to have an unusually high viewers just from the fantasy persuasion this week rather than most weeks. Hopefully not last on a match of the day. Farewell, Matt. Speak to you next week.
Yep, speak to you next week. Yeah, come on, Man U. I need them to turn that form around and hopefully the Man U assets
best of luck
also
the game
get some points at the same time.
Cheers,
bye.
See you later.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.